We want to look at Job? Please. Chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We preached on this years ago. I don't know how many dozen. But as I was in prayer this week, God brought to mind the story of Job and how it's influenced my life. Last week I preached on hope for the ungodly. You have to qualify to be a Christian by being ungodly. And thank God most of you qualified. So you're pre-qualified because you have to be ungodly. And if you could bring out another three and put them on the stage up there. Yeah. So there is hope for the ungodly. In other words, those that have no hope, those that, for one reason or another, they aren't going to make it. And that will be a huge, huge number, huge number. Nevertheless, after God judges, there's always mercy. There's always He always surprises us that what we thought may be a little bit off. Your idea is right that holiness always speaks through mercy according to the power. Holiness always speaks through mercy according to the power. Otherwise, an unmitigated holiness would condemn us. But mercy triumphs. Mercy rejoices. Mercy laughs. And has dominion over judgment. So this was Luther's great discovery in the 16th century that the word justitia Dei in Latin means the justice of God had two different interpretations. One could mean, as the Jewish people meant it, and as the Catholic Church meant it, that you need, if you sin, and you didn't do what the church told you to do, or what the synagogue told you to do, or what some other rule told you to do, you would merit then judgment, the wrath of God, because God hates ungodliness. But though he hates ungodliness under the justice of God, according to the law of God, he actually, that's not his heart. That's never been his heart. It will never be his heart. God has always been a lover. And the purpose of holiness is to convict you so that you then ask him for mercy. The purpose of holiness is not to condemn you and to give you justice. The holiness of God always speaks through the mercy of God according to the power of God. Because once you know the mercy of God, you have to have the power to do it, to take the word and then... The word is everything. I mean, the word is everything. The word is everything because it's a promise. It's something promised that the holiness of God will not condemn you because you're ungodly or because you have unrighteousness in you or because you failed or because you didn't live up to God's holy law to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength or to love your neighbor as yourself, which is the end of the law. Worship is first and love of the neighbor is the end of the law. But because no one has ever done that, God mitigated that judgment, mishpat in Hebrew, and he made it tzaddik so that you'd have mishpat, judgment, mitigated by, that is lessened by, that is filter that through his mercy, his grace, his grace and mercy, Hanan in Hebrew, and Chesed, that because he's gracious and merciful to us out of his love, that comes from his heart, not from his hand. So instead of the spanking, he decided to send Jesus in our stead, in our place. So the holiness of God through the mercy of God, according to the power of God, is all God's love. That spells love, the love of God, which passes all understanding. So that blessing and that love is free gift. It doesn't cost anything. You can be whatever you want to be. You can choose whatever you want to choose, but choose Jesus. He actually tells you the answer. Choose Jesus, because Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is your holiness. Jesus is. Now, it's not translated as justice, harsh justice, but it's translated as his holiness is not to condemn you because you did wrong. His holiness is to forgive you because he did right by making a promise of his gracious mercy according to the power of the Holy Spirit that strengthens you. So you can love the Lord your God with all your heart by faith, and soul by being cleansed, and the Spirit empowers you so that you know him according to the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Now you have actually fulfilled everything, not only peace with God, but peace with all men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. There it is. There it is. We have never had peace on earth, and there's not about to be peace on earth. And when they say there's peace, 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 there's no peace. So anything that man does will not bring about peace. It's what God did in Jesus Christ to fulfill that Abrahamic covenant. So that testament is in effect by God's being merciful to us. So all of that makes sense. Today I want to look at Job. Job is, I know I've never preached this before, but I don't think anyone has. I've read a lot of commentaries, and I don't think anyone has ever preached what I'm about to preach. Doesn't mean it'll be difficult. It means it'll be easy for you to understand what I'm saying. Those three chairs at the top, The first one relates to number one, that we're all sinners. So, but you know, there are some people in this world that are not Jewish. Hypocrite. And they're not understanding the word repentance, which means you don't need to look at all these. You need to know how these chairs relate to this. Repentance is that's not the way to go to be a hypocrite or to be an open sinner. You know, it's your hidden sins and your open sins, they're the same. They're absolutely the same. They don't get you to Mount Zion. They don't bring you home to Father's house. You're not going to be the dwelling place of God because you refused what he offered. And so that's in chair four, and then 5, and then 6, which we've been teaching, so that you know that God is a loving Father, and he wants you to be loving. Love me. Thank you. So God wants you to be ready when he comes back to give you your reward, and it won't be 1 and 2. But up there, behind one is something that I want to preach about today in Job. Job actually was before Abraham, before Moses, and before Jesus. This is called natural law. Some people, and Job is one of them, under natural law, love God. Or let's say he didn't love God. Let's say that the natural law is a law. Let's say that he was under the law of nature, natural law, and that he feared God and eschewed evil. He avoided evil. He didn't want to do evil. And so there is such a person as Job sitting in this chair that actually is righteous and will be blessed of God. And God said to Satan, who showed up in this first chapter, and said, I don't know if you've noticed, but Job is perfect and upright. You can't find any flaws in him. Now, this is under natural law, because he's before Abraham. He's before Moses, 430 years later. And he's before Jesus, 2,000 years. We don't know exactly when he lived, but I can tell you this. He probably lived under Nimrod's Tower of Babel, which failed. So after the flood, there's the Tower of Babel being built, and that lasted a few years. And then it never got finished. And so Satan has always had it in mind to rebuild the temple of unrighteousness. But it's always covered by morals. It's always covered by a law, like the natural law. The natural law says, fear God and do right. And Job did. And God said, have you ever noticed that that's a picture of Job? Have you ever considered? Have you ever considered, Satan, to make your report going to and fro upon the earth? Have you ever considered that this man hasn't done anything wrong? So there's hope for someone who is not a Jew, second chair, and not a Christian, fourth chair. 4, 5, 6. 4, 5, 6 is a Christian. So there's only those three testaments. There's only those three. Now, there are many other testaments, but these are the three that only count for the story that I want to tell today by the Holy Spirit, is that these three give hope for the hopeless. They give hope for the lukewarm Christian. They give hope for the under yoke of bondage Jewish person. So that would be this chair, and I'm going to put it right next to the hypocrite chair. So this one is just like this one. This is the natural law. This is the Jewish law delivered by Moses. But this chair says, even though you goof up, there's still hope in you because of this chair number 4. So this chair number 4 is the only hope that you have to believe in Jesus. But since that's a free gift, it's possible to do this. So I want to read this. There was a man in the land of Uz, or Uz, I think it's Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. You see the 3 chairs above? They actually will be saved. Gentile, they're under the natural law. Jew, they're under Moses' law. And Christian, who are neither Jew nor Gentile. The Christians are someone who believes in Jesus, and they have the promise of eternal life. And since it isn't up to them, they're not under a law, they're under the gospel. It's free. It's free. And we're a new creation. We're not part of the old creation, like those 2 chairs. Those are the 3 daughters, and those are the 7 sons. So Job had 3 daughters and 7, 3 daughters and 7 sons. Those 3 will have someone saved out of the earth. So whether you're a pagan, whether you're in witchcraft, whether you're a Buddhist or a Muslim, it doesn't make any difference. There will be some saved. And the kingdom of God on earth will not be satisfied until someone who's under the natural law, just naturally, is a decent person, a moral person, a kind person, a religious person. So whether it's one way or the other, he feared God. So that one makes it and isn't thrown away, isn't cast off, doesn't shrink back. So now, I'm not explaining everything. I'm just explaining this, that they will be favored by God. And they have ears to hear and eyes to see, as Job did in this book where he said, I've heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but I've never seen you with the seeing of the eye. That was a revelation to him that the living God didn't cast off a pagan, a heathen, of someone who only had the natural law. Now, he lived after the flood and after the Nimrod's folly. He lived after that, or during that, during the time when the Babylonians were in the land. In the Hebrew language, it's Chaldeans. Chaldeans is from another word, Kashdim, which is from another word, Cush. Well, that was his dad. So Ham had Cush, who had Nimrod. And so there are people today that are pagans, heathen, not Christian, not Jewish. They're not new creation, and they're not part of the Jewish religion. And yet there's hope for that ungodly person, because Job is the perfect example of someone without any knowledge of Jesus, without any knowledge of Moses, without any knowledge even of Abraham. Because the New Testament, particularly the book of Matthew, speaketh unto the fact that Jesus is the son of David, king, but he's also the son of Abraham, where faith came from, the father of faith. So this man who lived long before all those others, by nature itself, has reason and moral conscience, because God created everybody with the ability, the free ability, to choose what's right. Fear God and eschew evil. Do what's right. Don't do what's wrong. That's a natural man. And yet there's hope for that man, that there will be a group that are favored by God. They come during the time of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes with vengeance on the wicked, but it also, that's justice. But it also comes with justification for the righteous. That is, those that believe that God is good. And that even though they were ignorant up until the day of the Lord, when he comes to judge the wicked, but also to forgive the righteous, there's hope for that person that doesn't know Jesus today. And we save people like that, that are, you know, they have all the wrong elements to them, but there's someone like Job that is perfect under the natural law, but not under the Jewish law and not under Jesus Christ, the gospel. So, since you can make it from whatever group you're in, and there's only three daughters, three covenants, three decisions, three testaments, there's only three. And you're one or the other. And you can't mix them. If you're Jewish under the law, you're under a yoke of bondage. And nothing is made perfect under a law. But then there's the natural law, and nothing is made perfect there either. It's vain. Man in his best state, Job. Altogether vanity. At his best state. I mean, he was religious, he was moral, he was decent, he was kind, he was honest, he had integrity. This man had everything going for him. Not only that, God had blessed him beyond measure. He had blessed him with material things, with reputation. He was so famous. In fact, God said he was the greatest man in the East. He was the greatest man in the East. So this is the time that just before the next story, which is about Abraham, this is the time just before Abraham, just before it, when the civilizations were being created after the flood. And as you know, Abraham was looking for a city with foundations. But I'm telling you right now that even though he judges the people that believe in law, for example, the lukewarm Christian, there's hope for him. There's hope then for the Jew that followed the Mosaic law and never kept it. There's hope for the pagan that did his best and yet it's vain because it doesn't bring you to heaven. It doesn't make you part of the temple of God. But he says there's hope for the ungodly. But not only that, there's even hope for the Jewish person that believed in the law but never kept it. They believed in the law, but they never kept it. So those three daughters and these, the fact that they're daughters and not sons, they're the seven sons on the floor, those seven sons also make another way for you. Each son was named after a day in the week, and that was his day. And Job then always came and on the day of son number one, son number two, and so on, each day they would each invite the three girls. So these three girls have always been in the world because this is a picture of someone under the natural law that they actually know about, that God is a law God. That's what they know. And Job kept the law. And so here's how it reads. And there were born unto him seven sons and three daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, that's a lot of camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He was the greatest. Now, I can date him, and as far as I know, no one else has. They just know he's ancient, but they don't know how ancient. I can date him easily because of the next chapter, which says this was done when, and then you know it's not during the flood. It's not during the Tower of Babel. It's during that time, but when they actually, the Tower of Babel was ended at a certain point, and then they formed the civilizations that are now with us, and they're still fighting one another. There are people still fighting all these problems. And the beast and the false prophet and Jacob's trouble will all fit in with this if you read not only the prophets in the Old Testament and the judges in the Old Testament, but if you'll read about what's going to happen in the near future, not now, because not now, natural people are being divided, Jewish people are being divided, and Christians are being divided into the lukewarm and the hot, and the Jewish people unto those that are under the yoke of the law, and they say, are you keeping Torah? But nobody ever kept Torah. Nobody of all of them. Nobody ever kept them. The only one was Jesus, and that's the one we believe in. That's all you have to do is believe that Jesus is good, that he doesn't lie, that he tells the truth, and that truth will set you free. Everybody else is psychological. Everybody else is just human. So even the Jewish people are moral. They're religious, but it's worthless. It's of no value to God. And so the Jewish religion, even how sincere you are, how much integrity you have, that you attend the festival and give money for the poor and so on, it means nothing. If you give away everything you have, it's nothing. So the only thing that matters is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? That is where the good news comes from. Eternal life. Without eternal life, no one at the top there could make it, but they all have eternal life promised to them because of Jesus. And he's made allowances even for the pagan, even for this man who was before Abraham and before Moses and before Jesus Christ. But there's hope for him. Listen how the story goes. It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. His substance was all of that wealth and all of that reputation and all of that. He was the greatest of all men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, 7 days in the week, seven houses for the seven sons, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. Verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning. Jesus rose early in the morning. And sanctification follows justification by faith. Leads to sanctification, where we're not only forgiven, but we're also cleansed of all unrighteousness, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, the next verse is very interesting, because even though he did all of this under the natural law, under what's common to everybody, he was a good man. He was perfect. So the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. I'm familiar with everything. And God said to Satan, hast you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, not just in the east, in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? So he said, I want you, in all of your goings and doings, had you noticed this one? This one? Because you come to make a report to me, being an angel. He was making a report to God. And he didn't notice that Job was not under any law of man. He was under not the revelation from God that was given to Moses. He was just under nature. He had reason, and he had, and by the way, you can't be moral unless you're reasonable, by the way. And so if you're going to be reason, you have to exalt the mind pretty high, so that you can make then decisions, and you need power to do this, to decisions to fear God and eschew evil. Now, it doesn't say he loved God, but it said he feared God. The Christians are the only ones that love God. The Christians. But true Christians, if you're lukewarm, you'll fall back into one and two. But if you're not, and you're not lukewarm, because only the hot can actually touch the lukewarm and make him hot, and touch the cold and make the cold hot, because it's hot. He said, blessed are you. But I prefer that you'd be a pagan, a heathen, and at least follow your reason, and follow your conscience, and be moral. At least love the neighbor. At least that. You fear God, that's worship, but you also love your neighbor. At least you did that. That was Job. He had this reputation. Everyone knew it. And to prove it, look at his life. Everything is going his way. Everything is going his way. And everybody worships him. Well, they don't worship him, but they admire him because of his steadfastness, because of his integrity. And God said, have you noticed my servant? Perfect, upright, one that feareth God, escheweth evil. Verse 9. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, huh, does Job fear you for nothing? Does Job fear you for nothing? You know, yes, he fears you under the natural law, but for nothing. In other words, have you not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in land. Huh. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He'll curse you to your face. So Satan is challenging God. He's a rebel. He's the source of all the evil that's in this world, and he tempts everybody to be evil. And knowing that man is not perfect without some kind of help, whether it's the Jewish law, whether it's the pagan, heathen, natural law, or whether it's believing on Jesus, it has to be something. And many Christians are under the law. Many Christians mix up, I believe in Jesus, but I also believe homosexuality is okay. Or I believe that, transvestite's okay. I believe that sin doesn't really matter. You can make provision for that. Well, the church today, major, is lukewarm. We live in an age in which lawlessness is the law. Lawlessness is the law, and it's becoming the law. And so everyone is lawless. But you would have to be strong as a Christian to avoid that temptation. Because everybody's saying, well, you have to be reasonable. And so paganism hasn't gone away at all. Paganism, the natural law, is still with us. And it'll be a judge over us. Because it's a law that says, fear God and eschew evil. Be decent, be kind. Love God and love your neighbor. It doesn't say love, but at least don't do him harm. So the natural law doesn't really tell me how many gods there are. It doesn't really tell me where I came from. It doesn't really tell me where I'm going. It doesn't tell me why I'm here. Except fear God and love the neighbor. That's written on everybody's heart. God wrote that on everybody's heart, said, this one's mine, this one's mine, this one's mine, this one, this one, this one. In fact, God owns everybody. What he creates, he owns. And what he owns, he governs. And what he governs, he judges. And how he judge, if you're righteous or if you're, he can discern this, he's the judge of all the earth. So he can tell the righteous, they then will be delivered. But the wicked, they will come under my wrath. So that's there. But the righteous aren't righteous under the law of Moses. They're only righteous if they believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, from Abraham all the way to Jesus, if Abraham is the one that made the covenant, that father of faith, you're the father of Jesus. Capital S, seed. Because seed is in the singular in the Old Testament under the law. That Abraham was told, and your seed, but there's seeds, and then seed. And Jesus is the seed, duh. So that's the seed that he's talking about with a capital S. He is the seed of which we're the new creation, of which we're the ones that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and know that God himself will provide a lamb for a burnt offering. But here, Job is not waiting for God to do it. He's making his own sacrifice. Many people that are pagans, that are heathen, that have no religion at all, they're under the natural law. And sometimes they do well. And God notices that. And there will be a group that makes it in chair one, and then in chair two, and then in chair four. And there'll be some that won't make it. So God is now dividing between heathen and heathen, between Jew and Jew, and between Christian and Christian. That's what he's doing right now. Right now he's cleansing his house to see who's in, who's out. All three groups will make it. All three of those daughters will make it. So Job's daughters will make it. And you notice that Job's wife was never forgiven for what she did, but he kept her. And she even nagged at him. Why don't you just curse God and die? I'm sick of looking at you and listening to you. Get out. And so God loved that woman. Did you know that? He kept his wife. That's very interesting. He never rebuked her. He never said, well, you shouldn't have treated your husband like that. He was once famous and great and so on. But you're acceptable. So he kept his wife and had a whole new family after that. Isn't that amazing that God gives you a second chance? So Job had a second chance after God revealed something to him. Don't worry about the works you do. Worry about the word I speak. Oh. So the word you speak is greater than the works you do. In other words, you don't do them because only Jesus does them. And you just believe that he did them for you. on your behalf. So you don't have to do anything because Jesus has already done everything. So you can only thank him for doing everything, and you can only praise him for being everything, and you can only then adore him for agreeing to marry you, because the righteous are those that are going to marry Jesus, and there they are at the top, those three girls. Everybody can make a choice. You want to be pagan? There's choice for you. You want to be Jewish? There's choice for you. And you want to be Christian? The church of the living God, that will someday be the new Jerusalem that cometh down from heaven for all eternity, world without end. So that is all ahead of us now. But you won't see anything that I spoke of today until the time of the millennium, when God will be in heaven with his angels. The Lamb and his bride will be in the mid-heavens or in the lower heavens next to the earth, and will be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel on the earth. Chapter 7, book of Revelation. Who will be ruling over the world? They will finally get their kingdom back, and they'll rule the world. So now you have those four groupings. God in the heavens, highest heaven. Heaven, the heaven of heavens. That's the highest heaven. And we'll be in a lower group, not the atmosphere that you can see, but beyond what you can see, but it's there. That's where Satan used to rule and reign and tempt the earth, leading people astray, because he's a liar and a thief and a murderer from the beginning. So God has now set up this Job story to speak to you as scripture. It's funny even that this made it into the Bible at all. But look here what it says. And the Lord said to Satan, put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse you to his face. Verse 12. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. In other words, I grant you this, that you can now, you have the power to go and tempt him. You have the power to go and tempt him. How many know that God would not allow even a pagan, even someone that's rational and moral, even someone that's decent and kind and has integrity, even someone that's, you know, well off? Go ahead, Satan, tempt that man. That's talking about the tribulation, 1260 days. If the time was not known by us, if it would be waiting too long, even the righteous would fall. But he shortened the time, and he's now told us what it is. So Satan will only rule and reign for 1260 days, then it's over. So that's just like a college education minus a few months. Guys. So don't be tempted by this world, because even if you're a pagan, there's hope for you, because you might not be in this open sinful group. You might be a pagan, even though you're not Jewish and Christian, even though there's hope for you, because that daughter, that's one that will be noted by God. You were a pagan that did everything you want, and I said you were perfect, and I said you were upright, and I said you feared God, and you eschewed evil. You did all that, and I'm crediting that, because you were just under the natural law. You didn't know about anything else. Did some Christian visit you, or did some Jewish person visit you? Nobody did. We don't even know about him. We don't even know what that is. So we haven't finished our course yet. That's why Jesus is not coming today or tomorrow. It'll be soon, but it's not that soon. So, but it could be in a few years, or it could be decades. But it won't be too long, and here's why. It's right here. It's prophesied right here. And so, 12, behold, all that he has is in your power. I grant you that. Only upon himself don't. Do not put forth your hand. In other words, you can tempt him all you want, but don't kill him. Don't take his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, and they've slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I'm the only one escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, another came and said, the Chaldeans, Kashtim, Cush, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and the slain, the servants, with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, this big house that the brother owned, smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are all dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground. And this is what he did. The man under natural law worshiped. He worshiped and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So, here's a pagan that actually made it through, still feared God, still worshiped God, still kept his integrity. This won't last long because he has friends. I'll rest the story. I won't tell you because we've already talked about it. The friends sound like believers. They sound, but they're reasonable men. They lived during the Chaldeans. They lived during Mesopotamia. They lived after the flood. They live in various places around the earth, but he is the greatest from the east. And Jesus will come someday from the east. He's the man of the east. The Antichrist will be the one from the north, the king of the north. The false prophet will be one that comes from the king of the south. So, that only leaves Texas. So, all of this is a wonderful story about Job, and it's really a parable if you read the whole thing. You understand that he says these words, and I'll close with this. The words are these. I know! Now, that did not come from reason. That did not come. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that on the last day, even though worms eat this body, I will see God. I will see God on the earth. Wow, that's amazing because you could not get that from reason and morals. You could not get that from the natural capacity under the natural law. You could not know how many gods there were and so on. But he says, my Redeemer liveth. Wow, that's amazing. It's right here in the Bible. And how does he get all these revelations before he's even had a revelation of who God is? Because I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I have seen thee with the seeing of the eye because of the questions you asked me, reducing me. I put my hand over my mouth and said, I spoke too early. I should not have even questioned. And then he prayed for his friends, and they were redeemed, those friends, pagans, the Gentiles, on the bottom of the totem pole. They're down below the Jews who are below us, who are below God. The fourth group has people that are ungodly but will yet make it. They will be favored by God. They will be. They will go through trouble. They may go through the great tribulation, and some will be destroyed but others live, because there'll be a remnant out of each group. Out of each group. A remnant is what's left over after the main carpet has been laid, or after the trouble, or after the difficulty, after you've done whatever you needed to do, what's left over? That's what God picks up, the leftovers. The leftovers are what God makes the meal out of. And so there'll be a remnant of the Jews, and they'll be called the sons of Levi. There's only one scripture that I know of in the Bible that speaks about God will purify for himself the sons of Levi after Jacob's trouble, 1260 days. After that, when Jesus returns for the second coming, he has his reward with him. And after that, he will set up the day of the Lord. He came to set up and establish the kingdom, not only for Israel, that group up there, not only for the pagans, they're underneath them, but then those are on earth, but also for Jew and Gentile belonging with God, because they immediately get their new soul and body at that point, and now you're perfect. Just what Job was told as a parable. It's a prophecy that has come true, that Job actually is beloved of God. He's favored. He's perfect. Well, that's under the natural law. But then the Jews are not perfect because they never kept the natural law. So they're imperfect because nothing is made perfect under a law. So we're the only ones that have the gospel, the good news, to preach. And remember, made a people out of the righteous. So they're just under the natural law until they receive God's law, which makes sin exceedingly sinful. In other words, the Jewish law is so horrible because it says you have to do this. If I'm perfect, I want you to be perfect. If I'm holy, I want you to be holy. Well, that's kind of high. You'd have to be a pastor like David and I to get that. Well, you got that ticket, so it kind of leaves you in trouble. Yeah, he's in trouble. He's in trouble. But it was good knowing you. Do you need any money?
Is the sermon over?
This is good news. Everything in the Bible is telling you a story. But it's not by the letter of the law which killeth. It's by the spirit of the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which hath set me free from the law of sin and death. Death is the last enemy. That will be done away with also. Death, which is Hades. That's where the dead go. That's where they go. That'll also be thrown in the lake of fire. Everything will be in there. So there'll only be left through three daughters. You see, the daughters represent religious righteousness and moral righteousness. Only in the Bible, it doesn't say morals. There's no word in the Old Testament. There's no word in the New Testament that says morals. So morals is a man-made kind of righteousness. The word is used in the New Testament, virtue. But it's spiritual virtue. The law of the spirit of life, eternal life, in Christ Jesus, set me free from the law of sin and death. That will happen to the three daughters up there. That will happen so that everyone, because God began the world under natural law, conscience, reason, and it's still with us today. And it will never go away. It is there to the end. And they will make it. Then the Jewish people, they'll make it too, because their kingdom will be restored when he comes back. His reward is in his hand. He'll get a reward for the pagans. He'll give a reward for those that are, you know, whatever religion or non-religion or atheism. It doesn't matter. Hitchens, you know, is a great atheist in our day, now dead. But his life story is very interesting. His brother is, by the way, a spirit-filled Christian. But he himself argued that even atheists can be moral. Well, he's right. Is a picture of Job. I don't know if he's right because I don't know his heart. But what I do know is I wouldn't exclude him. Just because you can't read hearts, only God. Those are secret things to God. Only the revealed things belong to us, and only the secret things belong to them. But thank God he's revealed his law, but he's also revealed the gospel to us. Now, under the law, nothing's made perfect, so they don't make it. The pagans won't make it. but only we make it. But how, if we become lukewarm, then we don't make it either. So all three are being separated right now. That's what God is doing in His church today. Let's close in prayer. Hayden, close in prayer.